The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Michael Malice, he is an author and commentator. He's an expert on North Korea, traveled to that very closed country, wrote a book called Dear Reader, the unauthorized autobiography of Kim Jong-il. You just said to me, Michael, that that Kim Jong-un is a guy who believes if you're hit, you hit back twice as hard, you don't back down. And as you're describing the traits of Kim Jong-un, you're also describing our president.
To some extent. You remember during the campaign, Trump did apologize for that audio that got out. And I don't think President Trump would be comfortable starving 10% of the population.
Oh, no. I don't mean it that way. No. I don't mean it that I do not mean to equate the two of them. I mean, just far as tactics. I last night I thought the press was press was crazy last night.
Yeah.
They were almost saying, we got to have war because Mr. President, now you're not going to have any credibility. You can't back down. It was crazy.
Glenn, it was terrifying that they're basically saying, first of all, the idea if North Korea is going to attack us, that they're going to go after Guam is insane on its face. They're going to have one shot. They're going to make it count to be totally, Machiavellian about it. But let's have some perspective. For decades, we had hundreds, if not thousands, of nuclear weapons from the Soviet Union pointed at us and our allies. And that was something that we managed to deal with. So this situation is not entirely without precedent.
Okay,
take a deep breath,
So my position today has been pretty much that. Take a deep breath. There is no good answer to this. The thing to do is walk away, keep your eye and ear to the ground, but just walk. There's no good answer to this. Is that enough for Kim Jong-un?
Well, it's scary to me how so many people are saying that because Kim Jong-un is treating our country and our president with disrespect, that I saw one commentator say we should rain hellfire on North Korea. I mean, these are 25 million. You want to talk about having the moral high ground, being the moral leader of the free world, and you're going to be killing 25 million slaves and hostages? What kind of person are you what kind of person are you that's your first reaction as opposed to a last resort? It's terrifying.
I was watching last night. I'm so glad to hear you say this, Michael. I was watching this last night. I was watching CNN, and they kept going on and on and on about, how the president said all these things, and now there's a red line. Commentator after commentator yesterday was saying, we don't have a choice. We can't be embarrassed. We can't, be the laughingstock. And I'm thinking, we're talking about the possibility of millions dead. Who cares about your stupid honor if all it means is, you know what? I said something I shouldn't have said. I'm going to shut my mouth now. And what do you say? We leave those millions alive.
Glenn, I'm going to make it even worse. The people in these concentration camps are told constantly and explicitly, there's like 100,000, 200,000 people, should the U.S. imperialist invade, we will kill you all and burn these camps to the ground. So like you're saying, if someone has a gun to my kid's head, if someone has a bomb, they're going to blow up a school, they can call me every name in the book. Please call me all the names you want. Just don't kill the children. And the idea that we better go in and kill the children first as a response is even more demented.
How is North Korea, if the United States would respond, I can't imagine that South Korea, because it would be almost like our American Civil War, going to sit happily by as Seoul is most likely destroyed. And secondly, they have family members up there. It would be viewed as the United States killing their family members, would it not?
To some extent, those families have been separated now for 70 years with no communication with each other. But let's talk something else. People are saying they have nukes now. This is unprecedented. They've had missiles pointing at Seoul for decades. Seoul is a city with tens of millions of people with skyscrapers. Can you imagine the imagery of missiles hitting a city full of skyscrapers, even if they didn't have nukes? Is that something people are comfortable with? Or it's just, well, at least it wasn't nukes that are hitting these skyscrapers. I mean, is that what we're talking about? And that is what we're talking about. So it's a very dangerous situation. And Glenn, I know you remember very well the war mania that led up to the Iraq war and how everyone's like, we got to do something. We got to do something now. Emergency, emergency, emergency. Let's freak out. Let's do things as quickly as possible. And it's like what I was taught growing up in school is that war is a last resort. It's not the first thing you do, and it's not your best option, especially when you're dealing with a regime that is comfortable killing its own citizens to maintain its hold on power.
Talking to Michael Malice, Kim Jong Il book .com is the site. Michael, is there an increase in their resources lately? I mean, they've been able to outpace all of our intelligence estimates as to what they've been able to develop.
Like crazy.
They're dumping money into things like renovating the Hotel of Doom, which, you know, is only the Hotel of Doom because they didn't have money at one point.
It's the Hotel of Doom. So let's talk about how North Korea used their army. North Korea, everyone in the army does construction. So they're not just sitting around or whatever. They actually build things. So that hotel, which is, I think, at one point the largest building in the Eastern Hemisphere, something crazy, the Rongyang Hotel, was structurally unsound. So it was never completed because it can't be completed. It's a complete mess. And it just looms like this giant hulk over Pyongyang. But let me also talk about, you were talking about having empathy for the North Korean people. When I went there and we were taking the bus from the airport to the capital city, my guide pointed at that hotel and she goes, look, there's our latest rocket launch. And, you know, we don't think of them as human beings. They have sense of humor. They have families. You know, when you're on the street, you see the grandmothers doting with their grandkids. You see teenage girls giggling when you wave at them. The fact that these people are capable of having some semblance of humanity in the most inhumane country on earth behooves us, when you read news reports and trying to make them out to be clowns, keep in mind, again, like I said earlier,
they're not clowns.
If someone has your family as a hostage, you're going to put on clown makeup too.
Yeah, and it's not as the people are, you know, when I think when Semi says, you know, these people are clowns, they're meaning, you know, I think people like Kim Jong-un, et cetera, et cetera. He's not a clown. He is.
No.
He knows what he's doing. He just operates with a completely different operating system than we do.
And the whole point of my book is spelling out how they operate and what they're doing, because it's very logical. It's very methodical. But let me speak a bit about the clown issue. Like, I remember there was an article in a British paper that showed the marching, and it's referred to Kim Jong-un's mini-skirted robot army, that these young women, you know, in the army are all marching in lockstep and ha-ha-ha. It's like, you know, they're hostages. Of course they're going to march like they're told. They're not robots. To call someone a robot is to act like they don't have a soul or a mind of their own. And they very much do.
Okay, well, let me ask you, first of all, can we have you back? We're running out of time. Can we have you back on tomorrow?
Course. It's an honor.
Okay, I would love to. Go ahead.
We'll figure it out. We can figure it out, yes.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you two other questions. First of all, Otto Warmbier, the kid that went over...
Right.
Was, you know, caught stealing a propaganda poster.
Right.
Was, you know, 15 years. What'd you say?
Trespassing.
Yes. 15 years to hard labor. Looks like they pretty much tortured him to death and dumped on our body, I thought, in a way that was very reminiscent of The Godfather, sending us a message. Here's your citizen back.
No. That's not it at all. They had him as a hostage. If you have a hostage, you want to return the hostage in one piece so you get your ransom. So when things turned south, they knew they couldn't take care of him, and that's why they dropped him off here. Think about it.
Okay.
He didn't serve a day of hard labor. They treat their hostages very, very well because they're a valuable resource.
Well,
remember when they kidnapped that Ling reporter? They got President Clinton to fly to Pyongyang and kiss Kim Jong-il's ring. That's a great coup.
Right, but this guy, it looks like he was drugged and tortured.
My understanding is that the autopsy showed no signs of trauma, and this could have been self-harm.
Hmm. Huh. Okay, I had not heard that one. Wow. One last question.
Sure.
Is there something that we could be doing right now other than sitting on our hands and just hoping for the best now, is there something that we should be doing or we should be encouraging some other country to be doing?
Yeah, we should be sitting down with China and saying, what is it going to take for you to turn on these people once and for all? And frankly, Glenn, if they have a food and they don't have concentration camps, I'm fine with it.
You're saying if China would just roll in and they were still communist, but they were fed and no concentration camps.
Right. Communist in the Chinese model. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could live with that. They don't need to have some Western liberal democracy. As long as they don't have to live in constant fear that their children are going to be murdered, that's all I need.
Hmm. How old were you when you left the former Soviet Union?
2 years old.
And your parents came over here with you when?
78.
So they escaped and knew what they were escaping.
Oh, yes. Oh, of course. And it wasn't anywhere near as bad towards the end as it had been, you know, when they were growing up. And it's certainly nowhere near as bad as North Korea.
So do you watch the TV show The Americans?
I couldn't because they have them being patriotic Russians, and that wasn't a thing. By the 80s, everyone was cynical and knew that the system was nonsense.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. So I'd love to have you on maybe again tomorrow, and because I'd like to talk to you about what it's like to live in a communist country.
Oh,
what
absolutely.
You know, what you know, and then and how we've kind of blown it here on our side. And when maybe perhaps you have some insight on Putin as well.
I'll just tell you one sentence. We fought the KGB and now we have the NSA. No, I'm not joking.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Mike, good to have you on. Michael Malice, michaelmalice.com, michaelmalice.com. You can grab the book, Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Biography of Kim Jong-il. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow a little bit about, you know, what it's like to live in a communist country and what your family saw and how that relates to today. Thank you so much, Michael. We'll talk to you
Thank
again.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
You bet.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.